Hi guys, Georgia here. Before we get going, we'd just like to remind you of our usual disclaimer. We mean no offence or disrespect to anyone involved in these cases. This is all information we have found online and have condensed into this episode. This being said, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Girls Talk Crime. Georgia here, and I'm of course joined by Amy Howard.
Howdy doody.
And the absolute shitbox that is Jenny Thompson.
Yep, I'm here.
Full of shit.
Full of shit. That's normal.
So how are you guys? What have you been up to this week? What's a guaning?
Oh, well, I'm having a lovely little sleepover at George's house with...
some wine.
Wine, as usual.
Again.
Again. Always the wine.
What about you, Amy?
Well, I've had a pretty hectic day because I've got my little boy's christening tomorrow. So we've been looking for outfits, baking cakes...
buying fake tan.
Buying fake tan, of course, yeah.
For me.
For you. Ultra dark fake tan.
Yeah, I am the whitest of white.
She is going to be the brownest godmother in history.
Oh, actually,
yeah, not the brownest.
So, let's just get back to it then. So, for this week's episode, we're going up north, all the way to Scotland, where we shall be discussing the brutal murder of 15-year-old Paige Doherty. So, without further hesitation, let's begin. Paige Doherty was born on the 17th of April 2000 in Whitecrook, Clydebank, Scotland. Paige was an average fun-loving teenager. She loved makeup, much like myself and Jenny, for those who don't know, are actually qualified makeup artists.
Can I say I do like makeup as well? I'm just not qualified enough.
Yeah, you like makeup, yeah. But you're just not...
not wearing it now, but...
you're just not like me.
Where's your certificate?
You got a dissertation. Anyway... Paige lived with her mum, Pamela, which we can't help but read as Pamela.
Pamela?
Pamela?
And stepdad, Andy, her younger sister and two younger brothers. On Friday the 18th of March 2016, Paige had stayed at her best friend Lauren's house. Both had gotten up early as so each could go to their respective Saturday jobs. Paige worked at a hairdresser's, which coincidentally was my first job. What was yours, Jennifer?
My very first job... was working as an usher in a...
My first job was usher.
Taking a few pegs down in the world.
Now recording a podcast.
So I was one of those people who, when you go to the theatre, they show you their seat with a little torch. I did that for all of about... 2 weeks, and then I worked.
Gonna say, why the fuck don't I know this?
Yeah.
I
was like... it was off the back of work experience.
Yeah.
And then I worked in the shoe shop for like most of my life.
All of your life.
All of my life. Amy,
and I know yours.
Yeah. So, well, I think we've kind of touched on this already. So, I used to work in Greg's, the baker's. I would sell pasties. I would cook pasties, and make sandwiches, and wear a hairnet. And I looked pretty good in that hairnet, I have to say.
And you got us free food.
Oh yeah, and I got free food.
So well, much free food. Yeah, but I remember you used to come out, if I had to pick you up for whatever reason, because it was right in the middle of town, you'd be like coming out with a fuck off baguette, and I was like, yes, yeah.
Fuck off baguette. Yeah. I loved your little story about how you would sneakily bake a little sausage roll to nibble in the morning before the customers came in and hide it behind the till.
If I was on an early shift, I'd put in an extra sausage roll and then I'd like hide it in between... like bags of sandwiches and just take a bite of it every now and then. But like, you know, when it's like too hot and it burns your tongue, you're like, well, hi, can I help you? And that's why I gained £2.
Bits of pastry flying everywhere.
Oh, don't you hate it when you eat pastry? And then you look down and your tits are covered in pastry.
Oh, every day of my life.
Pastry tits.
I'm such a pastry fiend.
You are a pastry fiend.
Swim in the stuff.
Again, touched on this before.
Tasty tits.
Greasy, salty, yet delicious. Tit.
So So the two girls typically remained in contact via social media. So when Lauren hadn't heard from Paige all day, she became worried. She even messaged Paige's mum during the day as she hadn't heard from her. However, Pamela wasn't at first too concerned. She thought, with her being a teenager, she had probably forgotten to charge her phone and therefore it had died. That's happened to me many a times.
Mm-hmm. So much, especially with a shitty iPhone battery, it just dies all the time.
Mm. Yeah, especially if you're like on it all the time as well.
Like me.
Pamela advised Lauren not to worry, as Paige should be home by about 6:30 p.m.
When 6:30 came around, Paige still wasn't home, and her stepdad, Andy, initially thought, oh, maybe she's gone to a party and hasn't told us. He admitted that he felt mildly irritated that Paige hadn't been in contact to let them know where she was. As the evening grew on, Pamela became more and more concerned, and then around midnight, Pamela had made the discovery that Paige had never made it into work that day. At this point, police were called, and Paige was officially logged as a missing person.
See, I literally remember at that age, I would never call my parents and tell them where I was.
No, I wouldn't either.
I was the type that had to bullshit, I think, out of us. I mean, we all did a little bit of bullshitting, but
yeah.
My mum being a severe, like, panicker, and unfortunately I've inherited it, she would be worrying like fuck, so I had to make up lies. Because do you remember when we did that all-nighter?
Mm.
And we came home at like 4 because it was so fucking cold.
Mm.
And we just told my mum that our friend had been violently sick and her mum dropped us home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Such lies.
That wasn't true. Andy, that was a lie.
Sorry, mum.
I remember when we did a similar thing and we were like planning to go down the park and get drunk. And for some reason, some God-known reason, we decided to stay at my mum and dad's house, which was out of the ordinary because my mum's a psychopath. Sorry, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
And we told her we were going to the cinema to see some film, and my mum, being a psychopath, googled it, and the film wasn't even on at that cinema. And she rang me and I answered the phone and I was like, it's really scary, so we've gone in the toilets. And she was like, I know that you're not there. Remember that night when Ree got mugged?
Oh yeah. And that's why you should always tell your parents where you are, because that night could have gone a lot worse than it did, and it got bad that night.
It got bad that night.
I think when I have kids, I will just say, look, I don't give a shit what you're doing. Just let me know where you are so I know you're safe. Like, if you're drinking, whatever, just let me know.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get over it eventually.
At least we've got, like, phone trackers now, so we can literally, if and they want, like, would let us, they would let us track where they are.
I kind of think as well, with the boys, I'd like to feel, and it might be different in 15 years' time, that I'd like to think I'm the sort of parent to be like, right, if you want to get drunk, just do it at my house. I'll go upstairs, I'll leave you to it, or I'll go out. I'd rather them do it in my house so I know that they are safe. Even if, like, there is the mess, like, I think I would prefer that than the worrying of where the fuck are they.
Yeah. But I think our parents were like that. They never had a problem with us drinking.
No.
Oh my God. Mine definitely did.
Yours did. Ours didn't so much because my mum knew, and she knew every time that we'd had a party. And it wasn't that we got fucked up, it was the fact the house, there was like a sticky patch every time we missed something, and my mum would like hone in on it the second she walked through that door. I'm like, you've had a party.
Yeah, and then it got to the point, didn't it, where you'd ask her and then we'd be allowed to have the party, like she'd go away particularly.
So yeah, I'd be like, mum, can I have people with your friends this weekend?
Yeah.
And then one time I had I think it was a birthday party, wasn't it, and I cried because the radiator was falling off the wall in the bathroom because the mirror had fallen off, hit the radiator on the way down. And the radiator was hanging off. I was like, oh my God. I don't think it was you, but it was the Chaffee Bunch for some reason that we invited. And they were like smacking the heads off the flowers in my garden. Do you remember? Mm. And my mum was fucking livid.
Yeah. Oh, but me and Amy, I'd say we are quite good friends. We used to wake up and like do the washing up.
Yeah.
Didn't we? We were good friends. We still do that now.
Thanks.
Georgia doesn't.
Try my shit friend. Anyway, so let's quick recap, because we went off course then. Paige didn't show up to work, and the police have been called. So almost immediately after Paige had been logged as a missing person, her information was distributed to local radio stations. She was on the news, and friends and family began handing out flyers to help find Paige. Friends and family even took to driving around looking for her in the hopes that each group of girls they'd pass, they'd see Paige with them laughing. Sadly, this was not the case. After 24 hours, Paige's mum Pamela even asked the police, when are you going to start searching ditches for a body? However, police thought that there was no reason any foul play had come to Paige.
Police started their investigation by asking local shops if they had seen Paige that morning on Saturday the 19th of March. Both the local news agents and the deli owner had confirmed they had seen her on that morning, with the news agent owner stating he had spoken to Paige. John Leatham, the deli owner, advised police that she had gone into his deli to purchase a hot snack before getting on the bus to go to her job. Police then conducted interviews with everyone who would have been on that bus that morning. They proved to be a dead end. There were no sightings of Paige.
Police then decided to search Paige's home. As is the norm, people closest to the person are often considered a suspect. Police now have to come to the conclusion that the chances of finding Paige alive at this point are dwindling. They need to pick up the pace and find Paige.
52 hours had passed since Paige went missing, and a body of a young woman was found just off Great Western Road, approximately 1 mile from where she was last seen. Her arms were over her chest and grass was pulled over her. The forensic officer attending the scene later said that these were some of the worst injuries she had seen.
That's quite fast, isn't it, to find her? Like 52 hours. That just proves that's that...
Is that 4 days? 3 days?
So 2 days is 24, so no, a bit about 4 days.
2 days is... 1 day is 24.
Oh, shit. 24.
I was in a day, Jen.
Days go so fast.
But that almost, like, proves that the perpetrator obviously did not know what they were doing.
No, yeah, I agree.
Because his body was discovered.
Yeah, it was with only a mile distance. It was clearly, I think it was a bit of a panic.
Yeah.
Fuck, let's just get rid of the body.
Yeah.
And that could kind of link into the last case when we did the Becky Watts one, where we were saying in that one that they obviously took a while to dispose of the body, mm-hmm. and they made a conscious effort to try and hide it. And we were saying that if it was, I mean, I don't know if this is an accident or what, but we were saying in that one how if it was an accident and if you are a bit panicked, you would just kind of dump the body for someone to find.
Yeah, that's so what Amy said, like in a grassy, foresty area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Paige's family were notified that a body had been found, and they were escorted to the morgue where they had to formally identify the body. Paige's stepdad collapsed onto the couch that they had in the seating area when the face of the young woman was shown on the screen. It was Paige. Pamela recanted that Paige looked peaceful and like a child again when she saw her. It almost looked as if she was sleeping. However, in a later interview, she stated that people don't realise how violent her attack was and that half of her neck was missing.
News of Paige's death spread quickly around the small community, which absolutely shocked friends and families to their core. Panic then began to spread that there was a child killer on the loose in Clydebank. Paige's autopsy revealed she had 61 stab wounds, 61, 43 of which were to her head and neck area. How does someone even stab someone in the head? I just don't get that.
I don't, like, the force you must have to go through. I mean, would that just be like a tiny little cut, or would that be like puncturing the skull sort of stabs? Like, how do you stab someone that hard? I just, 43 fucking times. What the hell?
In the head.
And she's a child at the end of the day. Like, how do you do that?
But surely the first stab wound to a head would probably kill you.
Yeah.
So that's just overkill, isn't it?
But like, even if you're kind of trying to protect yourself, getting stabbed in the face and then being like, you just would not know what's going on, would you?
Paige had also suffered 85 incisive slash wounds to her body, which indicated a frenzied attack. Now, if you don't know what incisive wounds is, it's when the knife simply cuts through the skin, rather than stabbing or full-blown piercing the skin. To me, this indicates that Paige tried to defend herself from her attacker.
This just blows my mind. She's 15, and I couldn't go back, but I think I saw it on the Channel 5 documentary when I was doing my research, that she's definitely under 5 foot, so she is really small.
Mm.
And her attacker, she's like, so that's shorter than us.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the short side, but I can't remember what her exact height was, but she's definitely 4 foot something.
Yeah, little.
And how does someone, like, go that intense with the stabbing? Like, it's... fucking shit ton of stabs. Like, in total, that's, I think, 146.
And also, whatever went down that day, whatever was said, he has grabbed that and he's just gone ham, hasn't he?
Like,
something's really triggered in his mind.
He's grabbed that knife and he's lost the plot.
That is beyond just trying to kill someone.
Yeah.
It's complete overkill. Like, mate, you fucking done it, probably in one. She's so little. You could probably just do that with the first blow. You don't need to stab her 145 more times to get the job done.
Yeah, it's like floodgates have opened.
You absolute psychopath.
But then I wonder if he thought that was going to kill her or he just wanted to hurt her. It's really odd.
Yeah, I mean, odd. The attacker was clearly, I think, to me, out of his mind.
Yeah, to not stop and then go, yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God, what have I done? I think you'd realise that after the first one.
Mm.
Like, shit, I've just stabbed someone. Like, I've cut my ex-boyfriend, accidentally split his lip with a scalpel because he was getting on my nerves, and I said, fuck off, but as a joke. And I pushed him away. He came at me again to, like, play fight. I forgot I had the scalpel in my hand, and I pushed him away with my fist, and I split his lip.
Can I just cut in here? Why did you have a scalpel?
It was an art scalpel. You know the ones you use to, like, cut out your drawings and stuff? It was one of those. And I split his lip, and he fell back with blood all down his face. I burst into tears straight away. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
George's inner psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his parents were like, you need to be more careful. I was like, I'm sorry, didn't mean to do it. I was mortified. So you got to be, your head's not got to be right for you to not stop. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I don't know about you guys, but you know when you're messing around and you do accidentally hurt someone, you do feel instantly bad. Mm-hmm. You get that like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do, I'm sorry. So he was clearly not in that frame of mind. No. He was in the frame of mind to mutilate, I guess.
And that probably proves that it would have happened so fast as well. Like, it wasn't just kind of a slow stabbing, it was mutilation. Really fast.
Yeah. Obviously, we're generalising that to him, because at this stage we do not know if it's a man or a woman who's committed this heinous act. Again, we've rambled on. We are really good at doing that. So the autopsy's been performed. Police now needed to work fast. They had come to the conclusion that it was someone local. However, at this point, they had no leads. Police decided they needed to retrace Paige's steps. So they went back to where she was last seen alive, at John Latham's deli. Police then went over the CCTV footage from that morning. This is when they made an important discovery. Paige had never left the deli. Shortly after Paige is seen entering the deli, the shutters go down and John leaves only to return with his car.
What the police discovered next blew them away. On the CCTV footage, John is seen carrying Paige's lifeless body and placing her in the boot of his car. So we had a good look around the internet just to see if we can find the CCTV footage of John leaving the deli with Paige. And it is quite hard to see what he is carrying as his image has been blurred. Yet with a little bit of digging, we have found that he had wrapped Paige's petite body into a bin bag and carried her out, leaving only her sock-covered foot exposed.
This is like the middle of the day.
It is. It's, I believe.
How could you not think you were going to get
mid-morning
caught?
Yeah, mid-morning when he did that. Yeah.
And in that footage, you do see a lot of people walking around, and I can't remember if it's at that precise moment, but you even see him having conversations with various people on the street as well, knowing full well, we don't know this right now, but he knows full well that he has done this crime.
And also, I think later in the day, he went out with his family. He's actually a married man. And yeah, he went out with his family and his daughter and just carried about business. He even opened up the deli, actually. He opened it back up for business.
What, and carried on?
Carried on.
Mm.
I'm sorry, but I just got to say it. Disgusting!
Disgusting? It was fucking one of yours!
At this point, police and investigators prepared to arrest John Latham. They notified the family that they were arresting a 31-year-old suspect.
John continued to maintain his innocence and told police that there was no evidence of the murder, although carrying a body to the car was a dead giveaway, don't you think?
Yep.
Forensics were called to the scene and warrants were issued to investigate his home, his deli, and his car. Bizarrely, everything was clean, neat, and tidy, and in working order. This left police baffled. Little did they know, a key witness was about to come forward that would help them cement the case against John.
Local newsagent owner Ash advised police that on the morning of the murder, he had seen Paige and said hello, as already mentioned, before she headed into the deli. Around 5 minutes after this, he told police that the shutters went down on the deli, and a short time after this, Ash had seen John and asked him what happened as he had blood on his nose. I believe he was chatting to another shop owner on the street. So it was a hairdresser, Ash and John. And they were like, oh, what's happened? He's like, oh, I've just got a nosebleed. Something like that.
See, I'm thinking he must have changed as well, because for that vicious attack, he would be absolutely covered.
I agree.
Especially stabbing someone in the head, which is where and most of your... And the neck, yeah.
Main arteries in your neck, yeah.
And if he was cleaning it up as well.
Yeah.
You're going to go on your hands and knees. Exactly. You're going to get it on your knees.
So obviously he just said, I've had a nosebleed, and they're like, all right, whatever. But he then proceeded to purchase bleach, bin bags, and anti-back wipes.
Police decided that with this new eyewitness statement, they needed to do another sweep of the scene. This time, forensics dug deeper. They pulled up the flooring and found blood stains beneath the floorboards, as well as blood between the fridges and even some blood spatter behind the appliances on the wall. This indicated that a lot more blood had been present and had been attempted to have been cleaned up. Now, they had a warrant already, didn't they? So why were they not?
I know.
Search that. Okay.
Yeah. They did. This is the thing. Like Jen said, it was in clean, neat, tidy, working order. So they've already investigated this crime scene.
Yeah, so they swapped the bleach rather than underneath the bleach.
Yeah, they did. Basically, yeah.
They didn't dig too deep, did they?
Yeah. So this does make me question how thorough the forensic teams can be, seeing as they missed all these the first time round. And if you watch the Channel 5 documentary they have on this, they showed the images and it's pretty obvious there was blood. So it is quite hard to see how it was missed.
When John Leatham appeared in court, he gave Paige's family a glimpse as to what may have been the motive. He stated that as he was getting her hot snack ready, they had a general chat about work, with Paige even inquiring about working at the deli. At this point, John had invited her into the back office to take Paige's details for her to potentially get employed by John part-time. John then told the court it was at this point he had learned that she was 15 and too young for him to be able to offer her a job.
John then said that Paige had threatened to tell her mum and family and friends that he had attempted to touch her if he didn't give her a job. Paige then allegedly stood up and began to scream. So in panic, he grabbed a knife that was on the shelf nearby and stabbed her. In total, 146 times, may I add.
So just a thought. So he claimed that he asked her into the back office. Mm-hmm. Was that in the kitchen?
It must be, yeah.
It's like from the layout, there's like the entrance where the counter is. And then you go back and it's like a food prep area. Mm. And then back again is the office. You can see it on the CCTV footage. Mm. Of like where he walks, like you've seen, yeah. Like he walks through there.
So technically there would have been no need for there to be a knife there?
Yes.
In the back office?
Yeah, why was there a knife on the shelf?
The court learned that John had no history of mental health or any previous convictions. He was a young married man with a baby, seemingly normal until he apparently snapped. He had even hid Paige's body in the family home's shed.
I'm finding it hard to believe that there is no history of mental health illness because, you know, that's, like we said, he snapped probably, but how do you get to that level of aggression to stab someone that many times? As we've already mentioned, I find it hard to believe that there's no history of mental health illness.
I wonder if he had kind of thought about it before, but had never acted upon it. So he kind of fantasized about doing an attack like this, and then for some reason that day he just followed through with it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're going to cover this later on, but I've seen that documentary that you've watched, and isn't it like his brother had pretty much had rape called on him, or his brother did something to a young girl and that kind of triggered it?
Yeah, there is. I don't think it's in that documentary though. I think that's somewhere else online, that his brother is convicted of doing something, or he's like on the sex offenders list or something. There is something online about that. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's something along those lines, isn't it? And from what I remember seeing, I might be completely wrong, but they say that that's kind of one of the reasons like it kind of flipped for him, because he's seen the outcome of what had happened to his brother. So maybe he had these underlying issues. He's seen like the negative effect of on his brother of how it could be if someone pretended that you'd done something sexually inappropriate, and it made him go, I'm gonna kill her.
Yeah.
Kill her. And then he just went mental.
Yeah, it could be that, oh God, I don't want to be put on the sex offenders list. But then how do you go from worrying about being on the sex offenders list to brutally murdering someone? Because that's a hell of a lot worse. Like.
Mm-hmm. But then I don't know if anyone here has ever sort of snapped in an argument, and it's not like an out-of-body experience, but you say things, you may do things that you don't necessarily mean.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
I mean, how many times have you had an argument and you said something and then you later go back on it and say, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry?
Or let's just say, how many times have you had an argument over a chicken nugget and stabbed someone in the eye? Yeah.
But it wasn't actually an argument, I have to say. It was self-defense.
Dad was stealing my nugget.
So I was, just to clarify that I didn't actually attack
a violent murderer.
I was just eating my chicken nuggets, and I had a fork in one hand and a knife in the other hand. He came across me to take a chicken nugget, and I just, you know when you like put your hand to be like, get off, but I forgot I had a knife in my hand, and his face like collided with my knife, and it just caught him on the end.
And he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 7 times.
But every like time me and Dan will go out with like another couple or like meet people, it's just a story that comes up. You do remember how she attacked me once for a chicken nugget?
A fucking brilliant story.
Yeah. I've been on the firing end of Amy's aggression. Just say that there's this place near where we lived, and Amy, oh, I don't even think it was
Laser
you.
Quest.
Laser Quest, you know, when you've got like laser tag guns. And Amy was on the opposing team. I came across Amy and she held me up to the wall by the throat with her gun.
That's just being competitive.
I don't know, I'm pretty sure you say, get out my fucking way. Through those aggressive little teeth of yours.
Yeah, Amy does a little angry underbite if you haven't seen it. We call it the Howard jaw.
Oh, it's not going to be the Howard jaw anymore. It'll always be Howard jaw.
Oh, God. But going back to the case, I think we'll never know kind of what made him attack Paige. Only John knows. And if that's what he thinks happened, because he may generally think that happened. Yeah. It may have happened, it may not have happened. But I guess you can have to do that with your imagination of what you think.
I suppose it's like, what was the trigger point?
Yeah.
Paige isn't here any longer. She can't speak for herself. Mm-hmm. So we've only got John's account of things to go by, which might be absolute bullshit.
He won't discuss it as far as I can tell. Like, I don't think he, obviously, will get onto it, but he won't even see Paige's mum. He refuses to see her.
And what?
Like, as a visitor.
And Paige's mum is trying to see him to speak to him. Mm-hmm.
So maybe he doesn't actually know what he did.
I think
he does.
Like, it completely blanked out. Like, I mean, yeah, I suppose you could get, like, that amnesia, I suppose, but where you completely mentally block something out, don't you?
Because if he hasn't committed a crime like this before, like, it's probably given him a lot of shock.
Yeah, it'd be quite traumatising.
To know that he's been capable of doing that. Like, he might not even believe it himself.
Yeah, I do see that point.
And also, I think you said before the recording that his wife,
mm-hmm.
has still visited him.
Yeah, she's maintained visiting with him in prisiones.
So it's obviously been a conversation between the two of them where she's either given him forgiveness or...
Yeah, I mean, she stood by him throughout this whole process.
Oh my God.
But she's since actually moved back to Poland to be with her, I think, grandparents.
Mm.
So anyway, just to chip in, actually, I think we said this. This is the second time we've recorded this.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. But I saw, and again, I haven't researched this further. This is George's little case, but I heard that he's got a daughter from a previous relationship.
Yeah.
And her name is Paige.
Yeah, you did say that last time, actually. Yeah,
it just came into my mind then.
I haven't Googled that, to be fair.
Google it.
Yeah, check it out. If you want to check that out, go to www.google.co.uk and find out for yourself, because we're too lazy.
I'm pretty sure it's .com, just put it out there. Oh, does it work for both?
It works for UK and...
Yeah, co.uk is like UK-based, yeah. Com is like American.
All right. Fuck you, Jenny.
Also, if you really want to play with flyers...
If you really want to play with flyers, go down to your local printing shop and print yourself off a batch.
Where we will not print Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody, yeah.
Fuck's sake, that'll go down like a treat. Everyone will be walking in the streets with Howdy Doody.
We could just print a picture of a potato in a cowboy hat.
I love it. Yeah, well, that'll be one day, merch one day.
As these guys know, I love a mug. And every logo that George has drawn, I've put on a mug.
Oh, we got some three new mugs coming, or is it just you?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, she's done her quota for this year of mugs.
Yeah.
I got excited then. I thought we might
all in the brain.
New presents.
No. Give me a fiver when you get a new
present. So let's get back to the case. John Leatham pled guilty to Paige's murder and was sentenced to 27 years in prison. Are you shitting me? Because that is just not enough, in my opinion, for the level of violence that that crime was. This is also, this next bit pisses me off. He actually appealed his conviction and he has actually had his sentence reduced to 23 years.
How can someone so evil and violent ever be reintroduced to society?
Okay, so he has been given 23 years instead of 27 because he pleaded guilty.
Yeah.
This is just my opinion. Obviously, 27 years is a long time and he didn't do anything before. And I understand, obviously, you could see him as not safe to the society and stuff like that, but I think that's a pretty thin sentence, personally.
I completely disagree because he had no priors, whatever, he didn't have any convictions previously. But for him to have no convictions to then jump to stabbing a 15-year-old 146 times because she apparently said she was going to tell people he's a pedo.
Yeah.
That is a level of fucking wanker to a whole, you know, it's up in the sky another level, you know.
Yeah, and how did he get... 27 years is quite low, so I guess that's because he pleaded guilty, but then to get 4 years off his sentence, so he must have had some basis to be able to get that. Because how old is he again?
He's only 31.
This is what I mean.
He's going to get out at a good age.
Yeah, and I just don't think that's fair. Like, Paige was 15.
See, that's all... I know it's not a life sentence, but it kind of is, because if you put the 27 years on his age, he's going to be, like, what, in his 70s, 60s?
But that's not that old. No. If you think, like, our parents are in their 60s.
Okay, so I guess you can kind of come up with your own opinion on if you think that's long enough. Mm. I guess you guys think that's
not long enough.
I'm not saying that I think it is long enough, but I think it's a decent enough sentence. If he comes out early for good behaviour, then I wouldn't agree with that at all.
No.
But if he leaves after 23 years... and he has been good behaviour, and he's kind of reintroduced in society, I wouldn't be concerned about him.
You don't want people to go to prison just to stay in there forever. You want to reintegrate people into society to be better human beings. So maybe he will, maybe it was just a fluke. But,
yeah, but...
also going from 0 to 100 is not normal behaviour.
No.
Yeah.
And like I said, she was only 15, she's lost her whole life, and she had... like, if you look at pictures of her, she was so pretty, like, genuinely really had a lot going for her. She had a Saturday job, but she was really enjoying at the hairdressers. I hated mine, but, you know, each to their own. And he took that away from her. And I don't think he should ever get out for that reason, that she was so young.
I suppose there's getting out and being able to rebuild your whole life, even if he goes into, like, a lower security prison where he does still have very limited freedom, but... because at the end of the day, who is paying for them to be in prison? It is us.
This is sort of a nice thing. Pamela and Andy have actually remained strong and, you know, they're still together. They refuse to talk about John Latham or how Paige died, and they only talk of the good times, you know, with Paige and remember her for who she was and not what happened to her, which is really, really nice. You know, they talk about it every day when they have their meals and that, and they refuse to talk of anything bad. Like, anything that happened to her, that's not how they want her to be remembered. They want her to be remembered for the lovely, funny, pretty little girl that she was. So that's nice that the family stays strong. Because obviously stuff like this actually, in more cases than not, it breaks the family apart.
Yeah, which is awful because it's not just the person who's died who's getting affected.
Yeah.
It's everyone who's left behind. Yeah.
And his family as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I feel sorry for their kid and his wife in a way because I don't think she had any... John Latham's wife, I don't think she had any part... to play in it. She did stand by him, which, you know, I suppose when you're put in that situation, I wouldn't know what I'd do. You'd like to think, you'd be like, no, fuck you, you're a dick, I can't believe you've done this. But then
some people like to give forgiveness, don't they?
Yeah, so I can't say the what I would actually do. But
and as you said, she moved back to Poland. Maybe they're going to stay there, and that child might not ever find out about her.
From what I've seen online as well, her house was getting like graffitied on and rocks thrown at it, and it's not her, and she's got a baby. Like, she didn't do it. The baby didn't do it. So you know, stop threatening someone else. Just
But some people do that, even that, like, and it has nothing to do with the actual crime. They just do it for the sake of doing it. You know what I mean? Like, just to get involved and just to have a reason to be like a dickhead.
Although I have seen this, and this is really fucked up, that Paige's mum was receiving, like, vile Snapchats that saying, like, I think that her toddler daughter should be raped. Or something like
that. And that's quite common.
Why the fuck would you do that? She's already suffered enough. Why would you send that to a grieving mother?
Like, that's vile.
See, people are horrible.
I watched a documentary the other day, and it was about like children that commit suicide, and a lot of people then hack their accounts afterwards and pose as them as if they were still alive or as they are.
People don't realise what they're doing.
I think they do. Yeah, they get off, but then I don't think they think far enough forward to think this might actually make this person suicidal.
I really generally think they want to cause pain, and sometimes they want...
Some people are nasty, yeah.
I think some people are just deeply evil.
And that's also an example of someone that may then, in the future, do a crime like this.
Yeah.
They start off small, and then they're almost working towards something.
I agree.
But this is all our opinion, guys. If you've got any opinions, like, please let us know, because I know this conversation, we've been quite opinionated. So just, like, share on our, like, Instagram or...
Send us Facebook, an email.
Just because we haven't really heard a lot of feedback from you guys. So if you just want to kind of let us know what you think, any points we've made that you're like, nah, what? That's not right. Or, yeah, do you know what? I really get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a little poll on Instagram when we release this one? So we'll do it sort of a few hours after we've, or even the day after we've posted this episode, and just see if you think that the sentence that John got was enough.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be quite divided.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see.
So get involved.
So anyway, obviously this is where our episode draws to a close. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this week's episode. And as always, please follow us on the usual platforms such as Instagram and Facebook. We're working on getting the Twitter up. We're going to try harder, I promise. You know, and if you do listen to this one, if you are listening to us, please follow us, because we're finding that a lot of people are listening but not following. So any sort of support and following, we really appreciate it.
Share with your friends as well, guys.
Yeah, don't forget to share. Anyway, and if we've missed anything or you have any suggestions for another case, please email us on girlstalkcrime@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.